You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This is why we should never put celebrities in charge of any... Oh, wait.
The Wire.
Welcome back to The Wire. That was You're Not Good Enough by Blood Orange. Last week, the Independent Police Conduct Authority released its summary of police's handling of Farzana Yacoubi's complaints of a man stalking her 8 weeks before she was murdered in December 2022 by the same man. The report found a litany of police failures in its handling, including that its assessment matrix did not consider all lines of inquiry. New Zealand is one of the few countries that does not treat stalking as a crime. As a result of the IPCA's report and Yacoubi's death, many have called for this to change. I speak to Associate Professor at the University of Auckland Faculty of Law, Carrie Leonetti, about current laws for stalking in Aotearoa and the importance of criminalising it and what this could look like. The Independent Police Conduct Authority said it found the police's initial assessment matrix was not fit for purpose. Would you be able to speak to some of the key identified police failures that led them to this conclusion?
Sure. And so the police do a risk screening when they do any sort of intake of if somebody goes online to 105 or calls 111, there's an initial risk screening that they do. And I think one of the failures of our current risk screening system stems from the fact that we have not criminalized stalking as a standalone offense in the Crimes Act. So one of the things that happens when the police screen for risk is they first just have to identify what the crime or crimes are that are being reported. And to some extent, this is a fairly bureaucratic exercise. They're looking at a form and trying to tick off the code that applies to the particular crime that they'll be investigating. And because New Zealand hasn't criminalized stalking, they don't have a sort of tick box for stalking. They have to find some other thing to tick that helps to sort of capture what's going on. So they might tick threats, they might tick trespassing, they might tick sort of illegal surveillance, they might tick harmful digital communications, but we don't have this sort of recognized crime of stalking in our criminal law. And so I don't think you could have an appropriate risk screening measure without first identifying the crime that's been reported to the police. So just to give you an example, until about 6 years ago, we didn't have the crime of strangulation or suffocation in New Zealand. That doesn't mean it wasn't a crime to strangle somebody, but the police would call it an assault, or they'd have to call it an attempted homicide. They'd have to find some other box to tick. And so what was happening a lot in strangulation cases is they were just ticking assault. And an assault could be, you know, slapping somebody on a street corner, which is obviously fundamentally different than putting your hands around someone's throat and squeezing. Mm-hmm. And so when we lack these standalone crimes, we then can't build risk screening measures that adequately account for the victim's risk in determining the police response.
Yeah, and to kind of add on to what you're saying there, I mean, it honestly surprised me to find that we haven't criminalized stalking in New Zealand. If not criminalized, then what current laws do we have in place to protect New Zealanders from this? Do you think they're adequate?
We have lots of different criminal provisions that capture pieces of the behavior that is stalking. But stalking is a pattern of behavior, and it's really the pattern of behavior that causes harm, and it's the pattern of behavior that creates risk, in particular risk for lethality. Stalkers often escalate to eventually murdering their victims. And so the problem we have is we have a crime of harassment in the Harassment Act. We have trespassing as a really minor crime in the Trespass Act. We have scattered provisions of the Crimes Act, so threatening to do bodily harm is a crime, kidnapping is a crime. I mean, there are various things that stalkers do that might fall under various provisions of these criminal statutes or these criminal provisions across our code. But we've never just defined and criminalized stalking as a standalone offense. And we're really out of step with overseas jurisdictions on that we haven't bothered to define the whole pattern of behavior and treat the pattern of behavior as what it is.
Yeah, so what do you propose laws criminalizing stalking should lay out, and what consequences do you believe perpetrators should receive?
Yeah, so first of all, I think we just need to add a provision in the Crimes Act that criminalizes stalking. Mm-hmm. I think it needs to define stalking in relationship to the effect that it has on the victim. One of the problems with the criminal harassment provision that we have in our Harassment Act is it requires that the perpetrator sort of know and intend to cause the other person fear for their safety. So stalkers are kind of delusional or kind of entitled. And so we need to define stalking based on that person's conduct and the effect that it has on the victim. And we also just need to recognize that a lot of the underlying behaviors that stalkers use might look really benign and harmless on the surface. I mean, in Ms. Yacoubi's case, her stalker actually threatened to throw acid on her. Mm-hmm. But a lot of stalkers do things like post regularly on social media about a person, leave little presents on their front porch, send them little notes, have unwanted email contacts. They don't necessarily make violent threats. It's just this constant, persistent, unwanted showing up and making contact. And so it's really important that we recognize that that can cause harm to victims and that that can escalate to much more dangerous behavior. So the National Coalition for the Safety of Women and Children, and I should disclaim I'm a member of the coalition, mm-hmm. has drafted stalking legislation, sent it to the Minister of Justice last week, and asked the government to introduce it. Prior to this election, the three largest parties, so National, Labor, and Greens, all committed to criminalizing stalking if they were reelected in October. So I think the criminal stalking provision needs to be put in the Crimes Act.
And what would you like to see from police to better support victims of stalking as well?
Right. I mean, so the poor responses to stalking, I think, are the result of a lot of things. Some of it, I think, is under-resourcing. We've asked the police to do more and more and more, and we haven't given them the resources that go with it. Mm. I think some of it is a failure of training. I mean, stalking is really complicated. It's hard to recognize. It takes a level of expertise. And I don't think we've trained our frontline constables at all in how to identify stalking and respond appropriately to it. So I think some of the problem is cultural. I think some of this has to do with cultural competency, and I think some of this has to do with a culture of sexism that we see in the justice system. It's well documented in health science literature that when women and men go to doctors, they get very different responses when they report certain types of conditions. So when women go to doctors and report that they're in pain, they're much less likely to be treated for their pain than when men go to a doctor and report that they're in pain. In the United States, the opioid epidemic is largely a white man's epidemic because it turns out that when white men tell their doctors they're in pain, they get prescribed things like fentanyl and OxyContin. And when women tell their doctors they're in pain and when people of color tell doctors they're in pain, they don't get given pain medication. And I think you see a similar thing with policing. And I think you see a similar thing with justice systems responses. When people of color and when women say to the police, I'm afraid, I'm in danger, I think someone's going to harm me, it's minimized. It's treated as hysteria. It's treated as overreaction. And so I do think there is just a culture of not listening to women. I mean, this was, in the case of Farzana Yacoubi, this was a young woman who for 8 weeks before her murder repeatedly contacted police, provided them with documentary evidence she was being threatened, and they just don't seem to have responded with any urgency. And so I do think we have to talk about, and this is a broader cultural problem. It's not just police. I think we have a cultural tendency to sort of tut-tut women when they feel like they're under threat from men and treat them like they're overreacting and treat them like they're being oversensitive. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's important to recognize that stalking is defined by its effect on the victim, that when this behavior happens, it's not irrational for someone to feel afraid. It's actually a really important indicator of risk. I do think, though, that creating the offense of stalking in the Crimes Act gets at one of the cultural failings of the police, which I think is fundamentally bureaucratic. We don't talk about this a lot, but policing is increasingly about paperwork. You have to fill out these reports. You have to tick the right boxes. You have to move the investigation to the next person on the list whose job is to deal with it. And the more that we can give police easy tools just within their bureaucracy, the more likely you're going to get good responses. So if there was a provision of the Crimes Act that criminalized stalking, so a police officer who responded to a stalking report could just tick that box, and it would then trigger the bureaucracy of how they respond to stalking. Little bureaucratic changes like that actually make an extraordinary difference. I think a lot of constables would tell you they spend a pretty large amount of their time just filling out paperwork. And I think that's part of what happened with Ms. Yacoubi's case is they didn't really know what box to tick. It's clear there was sort of some confusion about which police station should handle the matter, which officers should handle the matter. I mean, they just never got around really to assigning her case to anybody. And I think if we can change the bureaucracy around how we label and talk about this crime, it actually may significantly enhance the police response. As far as I know, there is no one who is opposed to criminalizing stalking. I've never heard anyone oppose this on the merits and say it's a bad idea that we create a stalking offense. I mean, both the UK and most Australian states already have stalking offenses. Most states in the United States have stalking offenses. We're really out of step internationally that we haven't done this. But what I find is it's just never a priority. So everybody says we should do it. Nobody has any objections on the merits to doing it. But when push comes to shove, no government makes protecting women from this really dangerous behavior their priority. So one of the frustrations I have with the government is, you know, they announced their first 100 actions they want to take in their first 100 days, and criminalizing stalking wasn't on there. And in fact, the government has publicly said, I think Minister Goldsmith has publicly said, that they're willing to sort of look into criminalizing stalking in due course, I think was his language. It's sort of like, we'll get around to it eventually. And that's the concern that I have, is there's no reason not to criminalize stalking, but nobody ever just bothers to make it in their first 100 priorities. And so that's what I'd like to see. Before another woman is killed, I'd like to see us make a priority out of criminalizing stalking.
That was Associate Professor at the University of Auckland Faculty of Law, Carrie Leonetti, speaking about criminalising stalking in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.